All right. Greetings. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on PBS. We're also on USETI Stargate, on Rumble, on YouTube, and quite a few other venues. We're on USETI Stargate TV. And so wherever you want to check us out, you can. There's so much going on right now. We're right in the middle of a self-mastery ambassador training, and we've all experienced some wonderful energies during this session. And so we're only the first day in, basically. But what I want to do is bring some of the people that have been out on the Skywatch field and have had some of the experiences. I was looking at a lot of times I do the news, but, you know, all I can say is it's just one big kabuki theater right now. Don't get too wrapped up in it. Practice love and detachment. And it's all unfolding. So things are going to be a little crazy, and then it's going to be very good after that. So just hang in there. The ships have been flying, a lot of ships, a lot of activity on the mountain. There's so much going on here. It's just unbelievable. But rather than take my word for it, I wanted to bring up some of the guests, just talk about their experience, you know, while they're here at the Ambassador Self-Mastery Training and also out in the ship and just walking on the land in general. All kinds of things are happening. So it looks like we're having everything from Bigfoot showing up and leaving footprints and eating half apples to ships flying up to ferries to you name it. It's all happening, and we're getting it documented and getting it on film. So I just want to jump right into the guests. Who's our first victim that wants to come up? I think Victoria wants to come up. Come on, Victoria. I forced Victoria to come on the show. So how you doing? How's the show? I mean, how's the class so far?
Fantastic. It's been mind-blowing for me.
Oh, good. Can you talk about some of your experiences, either with the energy or the beings or the ships?
You know, there's just the energy's so high here. And sometimes I would feel really exhausted because I was taking in so much. I was a little skeptical whether or not I would see any ships, because I thought, well, sometimes some people will see them, but they could be standing next to someone and they might not see it. But we were all seeing the ships. And what was even cooler was being able to see through the night vision binoculars, and they're everywhere, and the orbs are everywhere. And when they power up, which is this sort of burst, you said it's like they're saying hello. It's just this blissful feeling. Everybody's very excited, but everybody's seeing it. So it's not something where it might exist. We have proof. I mean, I'm a testimony. I saw it. It's real.
And that's what's so important, having your own experience, because nobody can take that away from you. I like when Danny Dyer was here, you know, he went through one of the Yigong sessions and he walked outside and they go, I'm pissed, which means you feel like he's drunk, you know, that in England. And so he goes, I don't know what hit me. And there's a lot of intense energy hit him and prepared him for the experience. And then when he went outside, he goes, I'm on UFO overload. You know, he went all over the world trying to experience UFOs, didn't see anything. And he came here and he said, I'm on UFO overload. But what's cool about it was he goes, I did it. I saw myself and nobody can take this away from me. And that's important.
And that's the thing. I mean, we all saw that, but even maybe because of the cloaking.
Yeah.
Seeing through the binoculars made such a difference, just because you see they're everywhere. And then last night we saw the orbs and they were huge, just flying right overhead. And when we were standing in that one spot, they were just going overhead and we saw the, you know, big power up. I mean, it's undeniable. So, and then seeing that sort of portal opening on the mountain. Last night, what I did, I had the binoculars and I had my phone. And so I had it just recording and I was following because I couldn't see with the naked eye. And then this morning I woke up and there was a ship on one of the videos.
I saw that. It was beautiful.
So that's pretty cool.
Pretty big, big light ship right out in the field.
Yeah. So anyhow.
And the also too, a lot of, I mean, you didn't have the goggles. You saw a lot of the ships just with your naked eye. And then talk about the pink one that came in. Do you remember that? The pinkish orange one that first came in?
The first night.
Yeah.
And it came right over. We had previously just had a really great conversation and I was feeling very connected to my guides and one of them being Pleiadian. And then all of a sudden one came over us and just did this big burst.
Yeah.
So it's definitely been life-changing in many ways and affirming, but the energy's being so high. Again, I'm just trying to process it all. I've had to take naps periodically just so that, you know, I can just recalibrate because it's a lot. It's intense, but it's all really high and positive and loving, you know, so this has been wonderful.
Great.
Thank you. And thank you to the whole staff and everybody's been so welcoming and this is just a wonderful place.
All right. Well, thank you for coming and coming on the show and talking about your experience here.
Sure.
All right. Who's next? Great.
Awesome.
Hey, well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So today's your birthday, right? Oh no, yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yesterday. Yeah. So
yesterday, big 30.
Yeah. So you got the big birthday experience.
Yeah. Absolutely impeccable vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what, you know, what did you see while you're here? Or, you know, the energies that you experienced here?
Well, the energies are very intense. I've been to quite a bit of ancient sites and I would say that the energies here are higher or if not equal to the energies I've experienced traveling. The ships are everywhere. It is constant. Lots of that power up on the first night that we mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
And then probably 20 ships a night just flying by everywhere. I'm pretty sensitive to energy, so I can see a lot of orbs. And the planet auras are pretty beautiful as well. So, yeah.
Nice.
And then just the course itself has been really amazing. And the clearing prayers and stuff have been very helpful.
Great. So when we were bringing the different beings in, I know we did the one where you'd go up and meet your guide and both the personal and world healing meditation. Did you have anybody show up to you or any guides or anything, or just felt a lot of energy?
I actually just felt a lot of energy. I was telling someone earlier, kind of as soon as that light was spinning inside the pillar, I kind of just zonked out and just went all the way up. I didn't even hear you say anything about a gift or anything. I came back and I was like, oh, shoot.
A lot of people just go out.
My whole body was vibrating, you know?
Good.
Yeah. So. Great. Yeah, but thank you.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks for coming on the show. Ariane, she's a regular here. She's been here quite a bit. And I know you've got all kinds of stories to tell, but I'll just let you pick whichever one.
Yeah, so this year I started walking Myra's dog, Alpha, and there's a backfield, and we like to offer apples to Bigfoot. A 6-foot pole, and this is the first year he's actually ever taken apples from me, and I thought that was
really okay.
There was a group of us back there kind of just playing with Appa, and we found an apple with a big bite out of it.
Yeah,
it was pretty cool.
There's a big footprint, a huge footprint. I don't know if you saw that, but they took a picture of one, and there's a big old footprint next to it.
Yeah, it's actually the apple is like actually like right in the middle of the footprint.
Yeah,
like I showed you the picture earlier. It was pretty cool.
What size foot do you think that is?
It was like maybe like 15 or 16 inches.
Easy. Small. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty. The apple looked really small in comparison to it.
But. And you've been out in the Skywatch field with the lasers and pointing out the ships to everybody. So
There's been big ships and small ships. It's just a matter of finding them, but they're all pretty cool to watch as they go by.
They're like every color, all different colors. Yeah. And it's amazing. There's a lot of stuff we didn't get on film because it happened in the back area or over the river, but I got some more footage back there. I saw one. I didn't get it on film, unfortunately, but it was a massive mothership just coming up the river. And I ran in the house and I grabbed my camera and I come running back out and I turned it on and booted up this huge thing. And all of a sudden it finally kicks on and it just goes down to nothing. I go, oh man, that was like the mothership, you know, like treetop level coming in. But I have a lot more of those. I have a lot more in film that I did get.
Yeah, there's also like lots of like gnomes and fairies that are cool to watch. There was one year that I was out by the pond and stuff with one other person, and we were in the boat and stuff, and then one of our paddles disappeared, and then the next day it just showed up on the dock, and like it was gone, and we'd check like that old pond light. And it was just the run of those really cool experiences.
Those are the borrowers. They borrowed one of my flutes for a year. And then it's a little small flute, you know, and then for a year, I mean, it's gone. I looked everywhere for it. I couldn't find it. And then we have a table we do clarion on and things like that. And it just sits by itself. And I walk in there sitting in the middle of the table. And I go, there is no way. Nobody could have put that. I'm the only one that can get in and out because it's got a security lock on it. And it wasn't there before. So.
And it's just amazing looking at like the pictures of all the entities and
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming and thanks for all your help. And she's been a great help here with the workshop and your mom and CJ and everybody.
Well, thanks for having us all these years.
Oh yeah. Anytime. All right. Who's next? I think Michaela's gonna be next. Come on, Michaela. Just make something up. I'll pay you later.
A question for me?
Yeah, just like I know you've seen, plus Hawaii, you know, like she lives on the Big Island too and came here. And when we're on the Big Island, we see ships all the time too as well. But since you've been here, just you could talk about a little about what you've experienced out in the field or.
Mm-hmm. I missed the first night, so I feel like I'm just gonna power up. But yeah. Last night was pretty cool to see ships coming in, different trajectories, different speeds and velocities, which is kind of interesting because everyone's like, oh, they're just satellites, but you know, satellites don't move like that.
Yeah.
And to see them on the mountain is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you really just have to come and experience it yourself because there's always going to be naysayers that will look at the videos and, you know, have their doubts. But when you come, you feel it.
Yeah, and some of the footage, you went through the first part of the self-master class and saw the footage I was sharing and some of the landings and everything else you saw. What'd you make of those? I mean, that mountain's 13 miles away and the things that are landing on that mountain and lighting up and morphing from 1 to 3, all that stuff is like how can you explain that? You know, it's unexpected. It's a UFO basically. But also too, that when I had Rob Freeman here, he had $150,000 worth of gear up there, and he had he had night vision,
infrared,
you know, he had heat seeking, all these, he had this whole array of things. And so he was going to come and do the whole research and either debunk it or verify it one or the other way. And so after he left, he goes, I have more questions than I came with. He said, these lights are cold light. They have no energy signature. There's no heat signature to them. They're not people. You'd see the bodies, the heat signatures. He said they're moving all over the place. They aren't campers. They're taking off from the mountain and going up into space. And he said, I have no idea what they are. He thought he could kind of narrow it down to these are campers or this is something else. And there's no roads up there where the ships are appearing. So, and it's 13 miles away. So it's not a camper light or anything else. We took 7 million candle power lights up there and shined them back from them. You couldn't see them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you're looking at it at night, you're tempted to think that, oh, maybe it's a car or a camper on that mountain. But then you see that mountain in the day, and you're like, there's no way that somebody was on the side of that mountain.
And it's wilderness area. Yeah. You can't have a vehicle. You can't get a vehicle up there.
Yeah, it's pretty rugged.
But before, when you, that whole wilderness area, the tree level, above the tree level, all those trees have been downed. And it all is a whole bunch of downed trees with some live ones in between. You try to even walk up there. You got to step over this tree, step over, walk on the top of this tree. It's really rough just to walk up there. Mm-hmm. And there's no vehicles over there. But the candle power of the lights is just so powerful. It can't be anything else, and nobody can identify it. So it's a non-identified flying object.
Yeah, I think the other thing I would say too is there's the ships, but then I think something I'm really taking away and wanting to integrate from this whole course and from the weekend, and something that you do very well, is creating safe space and clearing space. And that's something that you're really drilling into everybody and that you're very intentional about. And the way you talk about clearing just the whole property all the time, that you're constantly having to do that every morning, throughout the day, every night, before every session, you know, and that's really just kind of sitting with me and just the importance of that and just learning how to do that for myself. And just something that we all need to learn how to do, I think.
I think that's probably the most important thing, I think, from the teachings. But the, you know, we have a saying, just because you're dead doesn't mean you're enlightened. And just because you're an ET doesn't mean you're benevolent. And there are a lot of therapies and structures out there that say there's no negative ETs, there's no negative spirits, there's no. And I tell people, you know, it's like, I ask them, is denial part of enlightenment? You know, because, you know, there's two sides to the coin, and there's always, if there's exceedingly good things, sometimes there's exceedingly negative things too, you know, that for balance. But you can clear them out really easy when you understand who they are and how to do it and get the tools.
Yeah. So I really appreciate you for really pushing that and drilling that into everybody, because I think it's so important and it's not talked about enough, I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's incredibly irresponsible, and people get mad at me for not telling people that there are unseen negative influences, and here's how you shield, and here's how you create sacred space, and here's how you heal them and get them out of your space. And you just can't open up and let anything come through, and you can get into big trouble that way. You know, so people need to know about that.
Well, I think going home, I'm going to do that every day.
Good.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah.
Okay. Who's next? I know a lot of people had some cool experiences out there in the field. All right. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, James. I just wanted to say that this weekend's been really great. Yesterday, the sky was super cloudy, and I think a lot of us set the intention to clear it, and like right as we went out there to skywatch, all the clouds just started moving to the right, and the sky completely cleared up, which I didn't expect that because the weather did not look good on the forecast for even just looking at it. So, and it ended up being super clear all night. I was out till like 2:30 in the morning watching the ships come over. Nice. And around 2:30, I was about to go to sleep, and I had just a giant power up right over me. And it was kind of special because I was by myself, and it's kind of personal when it's just you and them, you know.
Yeah. And what's important too, not only do you see them, you feel them.
Yeah, definitely.
When they power up your heart, you feel this heart opening, you know, and they're very, very spiritually advanced beings.
Yeah, I felt it all through my body every time that happens. I also wanted to share a very amazing experience I had. It wasn't this weekend, but last year when I came here for the first time, I didn't really know what to expect, and I believed it. I hadn't seen it for myself. And I was out till like 3 a.m. and I decided to go to sleep in my tent. And when I got to my tent, I just started feeling these vibrations and tingling sensations from my crown to my toes. And it would just kind of pulse through my body. And I was hearing this sound or this voice in my head telling me to walk outside. So I got out of my tent, and there's a ship just sitting right above the trees, right over my tent. And it had blue, red, and green lights twirling around the outside. And it was just super bright light in the middle. And it started going out into the skywatch field. So I followed it. And it was just every time it would do like a big pulse of light, I would feel the energy through my body. And it was amazing. And it was kind of putting on a show for me. It was like zigzagging in the sky, and it would stay in one spot and then go down, kind of like flying like a dragonfly or an insect or something like that. And it stayed in the sky from like 3:30 in the morning to like 6:30 in the morning. So it was there for a long time, and it was just me and the ship. So it was very personal.
Nice.
And that experience changed my life forever. You know, it opened me up to so much, and it just awakened me and activated me. So ever since then, I've been coming here a lot. So
I know a lot of people have that feeling. They have a feeling that, you know, I know something's out there. I know we're not being told the truth. And it's just kind of like a feeling, a sense. And then all of a sudden the ships show up and you go, I was right. You know, it's like and it's really empowering, and it validates your own inner sensitivity. And that's the most important thing, is your own inner sensitivity and your own validation of that, of those experiences.
Yeah, exactly. You can see videos of it, and videos are amazing. But once you experience it for yourself and actually feel it and have that memory, it's just, it goes from believing to knowing and just understanding. And it opens up your whole mind to the whole rest of the universe and how much life is out there. So
I was curious your take. I mean, you don't have the answers that you want, but after you had all these experiences here, why do you think this is probably the most censored place on the UFOs hotspot on the planet?
I think it's just because it's so real, you know. It's like
too authentic.
I don't know if, like, I can't think of any other place in the United States, let alone the world, maybe a few other places that are like this, that actually have the ships coming in on a regular basis, and this place creates a space to actually connect with them. And, you know, I was skeptical first coming here because it sounds too good to be true, but it's one of the places that you realize it's not too good to be true. It's actually very real and very authentic.
Yeah, a lot of people came here and they, same thing, they said, I think it's too good to be true. And I go, well, how do you feel afterwards? And they said, it was way beyond anything I had expected, you know. And so it's kind of a real life-changing experience for them.
Yeah, exactly. I took my dad here for the first time last weekend, and he was in the same boat. He didn't really know what to believe. And last weekend, we had a giant power-up right in front of him, and it changed his life too. So
nice.
Yeah, it just changes lives coming out here. No.
It's great when the whole family gets to see these things. And yeah, it's nice because I see a lot of people, they bring their families out here, and it's a family affair, basically. It's not, and the kids just have a great time here, and they get to see the orbs and they get to see the ships and everything. And, you know, talk about expanded consciousness, and to have that experience at a young age is amazing.
Definitely. And it's not only your Earth family, but it's your star family as well, because we're all connected to them, and learning that we have a lot of family up there that watches over us just expands your mind and realizes there's a lot more watching after you, not just your family.
I like that saying, if we're the best creator has to offer, it's a pretty sorry universe.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping, considering what we're doing to the planet right now, that there's some other higher beings out there that can come and help us out. And they are. They've been shot out and chased off and demonized and you name it, but they're still there, and they're waiting for us to evolve to the level where they can work with us and contact us. And they have everything we need, you know, the consciousness, universal law, the technology. They have everything we need to clean up this planet and take a quantum leap in consciousness and evolution. And I think that the only people that have a problem with that are the controllers and the enslavers, you know, they don't want people to experience this.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah,
and thanks for all the help too. Since you've been here, you've been helping out quite a lot.
Yeah, definitely. I appreciate it.
All right, who else we got? All right. I can see the other one.
That's a 12-day.
That's our Putin doll. I have to do it one more time so that people can see. Here we go. You got to push his little finger.
That was really, really incredible.
That's our word from Putin. So I'm not poor guy. He's really having a hard time out there. I mean, everybody's after him for a good reason too. But anyway, just I love this little Trump doll. Somebody sent it to me.
Who's one?
Brings a humor.
Good for a laugh.
So our next guest is Moses, and
got the beard this year.
He's got the long hair and the beard now, and you look very like biblical now.
Yeah, I was looking in the mirror the other day and I had that same thought. Like,
you need a staff. You need like a staff that you can turn into a cobra or something to eat the other snakes. You know, but yeah, I mean, you've been kind of up here for how long now?
About 4 years now.
About 4 years, and I mean, you could be on the show all day, but
yeah.
What do you think the most powerful thing that you've experienced here?
I've had a lot of great UFO sightings and things. I wanted to also mention the clearing technique. That's one of the reasons I resonate with you. I've lost a lot of friends in this community because they're in the God Club or they're in the 5D Club or they're in the Quantum Club. And they don't think they need spiritual protection. But I started seeing demons back in like 2010.
Yeah.
Started waking up and I didn't know how to deal with it. So I studied the Bible and I started watching like exorcism videos and paranormal stuff and started piecing together my own technique. And very similar to what you do. And I've borrowed a few things from your system. Now I do clearings before I meditate every time. So I'm asking for higher dimensional help.
And what's funny too is what we teach here is like the how to, you know, there's a book called Being a Christ. I love it. And it's how to do the work, how to do the clearings, how to do the healings. And some of the stuff we work from that. But even though we do that, there's so many healings and clearings being done here and physical, like spontaneous healings. You know, we get demonized a lot and it's really amazing. And sometimes I want to go by the Baptist church and get a can of split pea soup and down it and go by and turn my head around and spit out the window. But just give them a little more than they ask for. You know, it's like if they want to project that, I'll act it out for them. But anyway, it's kind of funny, this stuff you hear, but it's you just have fun with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to stop us from helping people and enlightening people. And you know, the thing about UFOs, they're all throughout the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like people don't know how to read it. There's a shiny disc comes out of the firmament. It has bronze feet like calves, fire and brimstone coming out from underneath it. It sounds like 1,000 rushing rivers. When it lands, you know, Elijah took off in a fiery chariot. He ascended in a fiery chariot. The river Chebar had these light ships. And the best one I like is the Red Sea. There's these pillar clouds that were fire by night, and they went ahead of them.
Yeah.
And they parted the Red Sea, and then they walked through and came back. So, I mean, what's a pillar cloud? It's a fire by night. You know, they had some pretty good,
sounds like a UFO,
pretty good technology there to part the sea. But there, I mean, we can look at it very superstitiously, or we can, you know, really use our brain and look at it and go, yeah, there's a lot of encounters in the past, and some were positive and some weren't.
And chariot is fire. It's a chariot carries people, and yeah, it's like it's on fire. So they're using words that they could comprehend.
Yeah. And the trick is to realize that there was two gods in the past, and this is going to upset people. But the Old Testament God was the jealous, wrathful, genocidal. And the New Testament, what the New Covenant was, the new image of God that Jesus brought was the all-loving, all-forgiving God.
Yeah.
And they're two different beings. And until people understand that, they're going to be schizophrenic. Because they have schizophrenic gods.
I think they're one. What happened? Did he go up to some ashram and study with a guru and come back with a new name?
Yeah.
And suddenly become forgiving?
Or do you go back in time and go, I hate people? You know, I decided I don't like you. And you're going to pay for that? No. But we need to really look at things logically now with an open mind and use based common sense. Yeah. And then we can understand what really happened in the past. But it's going to upset a lot of religions. You know,
it disrupts everything.
Like
you say, God is more of an energy, and then there's
There's the bearded gods that
like in Hebrew, there's God uppercase,
yeah,
and then there's the gods Elohim,
yeah,
the gods from other planets,
and Elohim's plural.
Yeah, it's plural. It's
yeah, so same. So that yeah, and so you know, it's I know the original translation of Genesis, I can't remember what it was, in the beginning was God, and then he created the gods,
yeah,
and then the gods created the, and it got, there's different levels to it that it happened, and so, you know, this is a whole nother show. I mean, we could go on forever about this one, but.
I love the UFOs up here. The first night I came up here, I was still kind of skeptical. I'd seen one when I was a teenager, and been kind of made fun of by my friends when I told them, so I didn't tell anybody for years. And the first night I came up here, I kind of sat alone to the corner over by the tree, and I saw one coming down like the southwest.
Yeah.
And it stopped, and it went back up, and it stopped, and then it went down and did a circle.
Yeah.
And then it went back up, and it stopped, went down, and did a triangle, went back up.
Yeah.
And went back down and did like a zigzag. And on one of your videos, some Reiki master guy said that he could telepathically communicate. You've said similar stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He said he asked him to do a big circle.
Yeah.
So I asked him to do a big circle. Well, instead, it gave me like seven or eight little little circles.
Little circles.
And I had my own little.
Well, yeah, show. I love. And eight's like a master number. It's a number of Buddha. It's a number of completion. You know, it's like abundance. There's all kinds of references to eight, you know, so they're probably giving you a message.
It's like some people get an initiation the first time they come, like I was talking about his.
Yeah.
That story, one of the coolest stories I've ever heard. I've seen blue ships. One time I saw over your house, there's two up in the air, and they were pretty close.
Yeah.
They normally are way up to like satellite level, but these were like only 400 or 500 feet in the air.
Yeah.
And they looked like halogen lights in the air. They're really bright, cobalt blue. And then I've seen lots of swirling, like orangish red ones. And I've seen.
I like the pink orange ones. Those are the plating ships when they come in. And the one that came in the other night, I told people, I go, that's a plating ship. They're going to power up. I go, watch, they're going to power up. And it goes, boom, you know, and did power up. So I love it when they do that. You know, you can tell, but they, you can tell when they're coming in and they really want to impress somebody that, you know, we are real, we are here, and they'll really, you know, if you just keep an open mind, loving heart, and pure intent, you're going to have experiences here. If you set that intent, and if you come up here with a bad attitude, you probably have a bad experience. You know, I saw a NASA guy here. He was trying to discount everything up there. And it was totally illogical, everything he was saying. I go, there's only 1 to 4 visible satellites in the air over this, you know, after about the 200th one. And then finally this pink orange one, it was a crystalline ship, came right over us. And you could see it was transparent. It was just beautiful. And he goes, that's the cockpit of a Cessna something, something. And I go, where's the sound? Yeah. I go, where's the strobe? Where's the running lights like this? And all the people in the field. And all the people in the field were getting really agitated by it. And one guy goes, do you have a shovel? I can take care of this right now. He was going to dig a hole and never see him again. But I said, yeah, we don't do that here. You know, we use the backhoe.
We're a little more advanced.
But anyway, we don't, you know, we let people have their beliefs. But I remember I had one scientist out here and these two ships were cruising, coming right towards each other. And he goes, you know, to me, those are just satellites. And he goes, unless they turn around and go back the other way, they're a satellite. And right when he said that, they went, whoop, went back the other way. And he just likes, I saw him scratching his head and goes, I can't figure that one out. You know?
Yeah, satellites don't change direction.
No.
That first one I saw, it was so cool. And then I've seen a couple do like an S or like kind of H.
Yeah.
And, you know, satellites don't.
I see them do big C shape patterns. The really big cruisers will come in and then they'll turn and they'll like come in from the south and the next thing you know they're going east.
Yeah,
I've seen those do a big long sweeping turn.
Big arch, like a half moon across the sky.
Yeah, and you go, there's that thing totally changed directions, you know. So and also too late at night when the sun is really low behind underneath the earth, they're self-illuminated. There's no visible light to come off of them because the sun's behind them.
Exactly.
Behind the earth. And so there's no reflection. There's nothing to reflect. So satellites aren't self-illuminating.
No, they're
not. You know? So I think the space station has one little strobe on it or something.
That's why the power-ups are so undeniable.
Yeah.
Just last night, there was a good one that they power up about every 4 or 5 seconds all the way across the whole sky.
Nice.
That was later last night, like 1 a.m.
I know we need to get more cameras in different places here because that backfield's been going crazy. And
yeah.
Our neighbors over there, we went over there to fix the fence and ran into one of our neighbors, and they're all freaked out because a UFO landed in the back 30 over there. So, and they're freaking out. And they're, yeah, it was kind of interesting, you know. And I had to have a really long talk with them, explain to them how it fits into the Bible, and they're not, you know, they're not bad.
They're not evil. It's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the devil.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
not the devil.
It's either God or the devil, and they don't understand all the layers.
Well,
the Bible talks about the layers, but yeah. Most people clearly miss it.
They talk about the many mansions. They talk about the different dimensions. They talk about the sweet energies of the Pleiades, the sons of Arcturus. All that's in the Bible.
Celestial, terrestrial, celestial.
Yeah,
levels of heaven.
Yeah, so, you know, and the ships are all over throughout the Bible. So, and if you go into any of the ancient texts, they're all over, especially India, the Vedic scriptures, they have very, very incredible descriptions of the ships, their armaments. Some have rockets or missiles on them, and some are sound-seeking, some are light-seeking. They have all, and they talk about the battles that went on, and they were nuclear wars. I mean, they
bombs in the air.
Yeah, yeah.
Bananas fighting each other.
Yeah, and elephants, their flesh melting off, and the whole forest being laid to waste. And you know, those. And then it's written in their scriptures, and you go back to the time when they're talking about, and you dig up the ground there, and at that level, it's radioactive.
Yeah, it's still radioactive to this day.
There's a lot of glass. Like the Gobi Desert has all these huge glass sheets there. And that was the remnants of Lemuria when the Atlanteans used beam weapons on them. And so people get this glass and they go, oh, it's special glass. And, you know, it's just melted ancestors, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, it probably does have a frequency to it. I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't have a really high frequency. But there's so much going on out there. You know, we really have to educate ourselves and think outside the box.
People need to get outside. I mean, you look at the stars. How can we be alone? You can see thousands of stars with your naked eye.
Well, they've got trillions. I can't remember what the latest number is. It's well over billions and trillions of Earth-like planets in Goldilocks zone. You know,
we're alone.
Yeah,
in a religion.
Yeah, we're alone. Yeah, it's like, you know, I like that. I like the game. How big is your God?
How limited is your God? My God's omnipresent. He has lots of planets. He's made worlds without number.
Yeah. Why is not even he?
She. Yeah. Source reunion.
Yeah.
Reunion with Source.
Yeah. Somebody saying, "Can't." She goes, "I have a message from God," and I go, "What's she saying?"
What's she saying?
So it's kind of funny. But you know, you always wonder if you know. I go, "Hey, did God have a mother? You know, where did he learn from?" You know, just have fun with that.
Where's the gods before the gods?
Yeah, yeah. Now they said the Big Bang theory is wrong, and it's a series of big bangs, and there's younger universes way out at the end of our galaxy being formed, and there's some much older than ours, and it's. It's not just one big bang. It's like bang, 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 bang. It's still going on.
Staccato.
God's only got a six shooter. That's it. He got six galaxies and then he's empty, you know. But anyway, it's all coming out now. I mean, when we really understand who the bearded gods were, and they were from ancient Lyra, and they're called the Anunnaki. And then we'll know where we got that image from. But then you have to say, okay, who created them? Who created the bearded gods that we reference as gods? And it goes on and on and on. But it's all coming out anyway.
People are learning. People are waking up.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Thanks for coming on the show. And thanks for all the help. Yeah.
Yeah, glad to help.
All right. Who we got? All right, Jesse.
Hi, James.
What do you have to share with us?
Oh, my goodness. There have been so many beautiful things that I've experienced in my time here. Speaking of the lights on the mountains, I've been stargazing through telescopes and with the naked eye since I was flying, and looked at the sky all over wherever I go. But the intensity of these beautiful ships, the energy I receive tenfold in this vortex, and I carry with me a monocular that's a naked eye monocular, but so no infrared or special viewing. And what I have seen through the monocular last night, when we were all out there, the lights that we were seeing, I actually saw it elevate above the treetops. It's a very powerful monocular. You can view Venus. It elevated and shifted in such a way that it absolutely could not have been any kind of a vehicle on the ground, because it was above, hovering above the treetops. And when I experience these lights on the mountain, when you see that and the light gets brighter, the joy begins to amplify from that heart space. And that's one of my other favorite things about being here at the ranch, is how being joyful becomes second nature, and how it's a like a functional theta when friends arrive and you say, you like being friends with the universe? I like being friends with the universe. And before you know it, we're all friends with the universe together. And that's a really special thing. And in that duality that you speak of, very hard to find in the world. And so I'm very grateful.
All right, thank you.
And for the opportunity and the techniques on maintaining that bliss that we're able to create within ourselves and share with others.
Yeah, you and David have been a godsend here. All the work you've been doing and helping, and it's just like a mind blower. And when I got back from Hawaii and I saw everything and the broken pipes and all the stuff and the trees falling, and I went, oh my God, you know, and I looked at it, and then you guys showed up and bam, bam, bam. And then we had this whole crew show up, and all of them were master plumbers and electricians. And
it was really
nice. To me, every day I went home and I just went, thank you, God. You know, like, and my back thanks you.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
And that's how the beauty of it is that Dave and I, since coming to the ranch, have been more joyful than we have in all the years of our togetherness. Again, because we're free to love. Mm-hmm. We're free to give, and we're free to be of service joyfully, because it's okay here. No one is gonna say, why are you so happy? They do that out there.
They do. Yeah, you mirror back to them their own unhappiness. Yes. So rather than be happy with you, they want to take you down to their unhappiness level. And
right.
It's amazing, you know, and I just have fun with it. I don't let it bother me. But
And that's one of the tools that I've learned here, is how to have fun.
Yeah, just be PC and correct, tell bad jokes, and pull you to start laughing or leave, and you're good either way, you know. So,
yep.
But yeah, I learned that a long time ago, running into that so much here, that we have a saying here, thank you for establishing your character and your ignorance. Have a nice day. You walk away. Yeah. And so somebody goes, oh, that's cold. And I said, no, I love myself enough to get myself out of there. You know, I don't want to. But one of the funniest things I do sometimes, so I'll be out in the field and somebody wants to argue whether it was a ship or not, or those are satellites or anything else, and they're trying to engage you in this argument or something. And I go, what's that? You know, and they turn around, they look, and I walk away, and it's dark and they can't figure it out. And so they come back and they're arguing for like 10 or 15 more minutes before they realize I'm not even there. So it's a big ranch. You can disappear.
Yeah. Right.
It's kind of fun.
All kinds of fun hiding places.
Wonderful. Awesome. Anything else? I mean, you've seen all kinds of things here. I don't know what is.
Yeah, I have many beautiful experiences. I did want to remark, did we mention about the aura of the plant life here?
Yeah. Right?
And just how truly significant it is. That's something as well throughout my life, hearing the frequency of animals and plants. Mm-hmm. And here it's just like a beautiful conversation all of a sudden. You just tune right into it. And that's quite lovely.
Yeah, the trees talk to you. You know, yeah, it's funny. They'll ask a question and they answer you. So you better be ready for that.
Right. Well, I know a lot of them by name now. I've got some name plants on some of our favorite fruit trees. There's Penelope pear. And
I was meditating once, and I was on the Lemurian Hill, and one of the trees. It was really weird. I was really in meditation. I was sitting there, and I hear this in my head, like a telepathic communication. And I go, "Who is this?" And I hear Eop. You know, I go Eop, and I go, "So what? What are you? You know, where you come? What dimension you're coming from? You know?" And it was here, and I go here. And it turned out to be the tree next to me. So it was really funny. You know, I said, "Okay, I'm losing it. I'm really going
tight." No, they do that.
But
they do that.
They do. They have names, and a lot of them have been here. If when you get into a certain state of clairvoyancy out there in the field and you're meditating, you'll see the old trees that used to be here because their etheric shell is still there. You might say their etheric body. And sometimes I'm out there. And I'll look up and I go, "Oh my God," you know, and these trees, although they've been cut down on this dimension, they still exist in the next dimension up. And they are massive. I mean, they are just huge. And they have their auras. And you can see everything. You get a glimpse into the next dimension. So I always believe the trees that were cut down here and taken out still exist on another dimension, on the next level. So
they truly do. You can feel them.
Yeah,
always. And in that space around them is actually the information that they passed on in their seeds through their DNA.
Yeah,
of how they survived so very long, how they weathered the storm. That's passed on in their DNA, and it's in the earth. Mm-hmm. That was once surrounding them still.
I know it's one thing too this year. I mean, we've had a lot of chemtrails and they're really affecting the forest in a very adverse way. And a lot of trees are dying and they're dying from the top down because the nutrients are being blocked and everything else. But what's really interesting is they're coming back with a vengeance and they're throwing off so much pollen and so many seeds and so the next time around, it's going to just be trees everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
And especially the cottonwoods, it's just like wall-to-wall right. Cottonwood, you know, seeds in the air.
It looked like it was snowing.
Yeah, and I've never seen that many cottonwoods. So it's like nature always, it may take a little while. She might be a little slow to fix everything, but she's always going to fix everything, you know, back. And it's probably going to be more, you know, there's going to be more trees, you know, in the end. So it's always the good news.
But that's just a number to hearing laughter coming out of nowhere and seeing animal friends, you know.
Yeah, you'd be out planting trees out there and you hear this little, "I love you," little voice, and you go, "What was that?" You know, it's a little tree fairy flying around out there.
Yes.
It's interesting. I'm a very grounded person, you know, and when these things happen, right. I go, "What the hell was that?" And I got to go figure it out, you know.
Yeah.
I try to find some other logical explanation for it. Like, "Oh, that was a neighbor, but we don't have any neighbors over there."
Exactly.
At the time. At the time, there were no neighbors. And I go, "That was like close, you know."
Right. Right.
And then I had to meditate. My guide told me that was a tree fairy, that they're thanking me for reforesting the land. And, you know, so it's they do. They, you know, if you're respecting nature, they respect you.
Yeah, 100%.
Take care of nature and nature takes care of you. Mm-hmm. It's pretty basic. We've got a few more minutes. Thanks for coming on, and thanks for all the help you've been giving us here.
This has been a wonderful conference.
Great. The looks like we got about maybe 8 minutes left or so. So, anybody else want to come on? Can't see past the. Come on, we got to have another person that can make up a story. I'll pay you. No, I'm just kidding. All right, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What do you have to share with us?
Well, I was fortunate enough on the first night to see the big power up.
Oh, nice, yeah.
And that was the one that was pinkish-orange.
Yeah.
And at first, you know, I was thinking maybe it was satellites. This is my first time here. But then I saw how they went in all different directions and, you know, curved. And then the one that powered up, it seemed as if the group of us were pretty united. And then I think you pointed out, oh, look, it's changing colors, you know, pink and orange. And then it seemed like you said Pelagian.
Yeah, I know that's a Pelagian ship, a sparkly ship, and then boom,
power. So beautiful. And I've been watching your YouTubes and seeing it on the, and then I was like, here I am, I'm here. And it, and it's powering up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So beautiful.
And yeah, we've done that. We've given the exact time and date and location of the ships, where they're going to power up, when, everything. We've done it on so many shows and redundantly. And they're still asking, when are we going to have contact? You know,
right.
And right there shows, you know, contact has been made. It's telepathic and it's ongoing. And I guarantee you they're not going to park and get out of the ship and come and shake hands with us, because you can imagine what that's going to do. You're going to have the news, the military, the everything, you know, coming out here, and they're going to want to dissect them and steal the technology. And so we're not really ready for that phase yet, but we're getting close. We're getting really close. But there are a lot of contacts happening in rural areas and places that, you know, other than Vegas, that was a good one.
Yeah, I was just hearing about that. I've been watching the news.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's fake news and what's
real. Yeah, what I was told was that the Pleiadians are here now, and the warriors are here, and they're just cleaning house now. And they're disabling a lot of these ships, the Dark Fleet and the other ones. And they're coming down. And there's going to be a lot of like gray and reptilian guys walking around without a ship. And that's part of disclosure. That's their way of, they're not going to be able to deny it, because these are happening in cities and everything. So I'd expect to see a lot more of that, you know, in the future.
Yeah, it was a wonderful meditation you led us in earlier today, too. Right. And last night it was a little bit cloudier, but that huge monocular cloud.
Yeah.
And that one just felt like a mothership.
Yeah.
And then over top the mountain, the cloud was completely different color, but then the light kept flashing on the mountain where there couldn't possibly be a light. And then these little pieces of cloud were floating off of the mountain and going into the big mothership cloud. Nothing else was moving.
Yeah.
Just that. So what was that all about?
Yeah. Well, I saw earlier we talked about, I know Kathy said that too. Kathy goes, oh, the mountain's going to clean up the sky, you know, and I some people, the ships are going to clean the sky up, because it was massive chemtrailing going on, and they just had us sucked in, and then the clouds came in and you couldn't see a thing. And all of a sudden I see it all the time that it starts swirling, and all of a sudden you'll see the vortex swirling, and you see the mountain grabbing all the clouds, and they'll spin them into these lenticular clouds like tops, and
that thing,
the whole sky just cleans up again.
And then didn't you say you went out at 3 o'clock and saw the mothership?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I felt was behind that huge cloud. It's definitely doing a work in the sky.
And we'll see those lenticular clouds, but what's weird about them is they'll be there for weeks in one spot, and you'll see clouds going over them and under them, and they just sit there.
You know? Yeah, I was really glad I got to see that. And spending time on New York, we came all the way out here from Maryland, my husband and I, and you know, so I've been reading your books, but I can't describe to other people the energy of the land. And we spent some time out the galactic medicine wheel, and you really could feel you could communicate with each little circle there.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was all planned or it happened from above, but my consciousness is being raised, and have to make sure I don't lose a panel on re-entry when I get back to the DC Baltimore area.
Yeah, Tashina helped us with that, and she's like a Hopi. She works a lot with the Hopi elders, and so they created that galactic medicine wheel, and it was very intentional with a lot of people. And what happened is it was the higher beings and the spiritual and technologically advanced off-worlders came in and helped us too, and they just anchored the energy in there. So when you get into the pod of your star family, you just boom, you know.
And I was looking for mine.
Yeah.
They had the Arcturians, the Orions, and everything.
Yeah.
But the Earth, the inner Earth, and the
elementals. Yeah. Yeah.
And then when I got to Ascended Masters, and so I felt, well, I'm getting a lot of help from my star relatives, but I'm on the right planet.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was confirmation. So that part's very powerful. Thank you for all that. Yeah, James is wonderful. We love it here.
Okay, I'll pay you.
Okay.
Thanks. All right, thanks. Thanks for coming on the show. Yeah, these are all paid actors, and next person, I'll introduce them. I'll say, okay, random person we've never met before, give them some money under the table. No, but we, you know, everybody that's coming here, most people are new. We had a couple guests pop on, and I wanted to bring some more people up, but we don't have any time. We've only got like 2 minutes left. We have to close out before the end of the hour. So anyway, people, you got to keep an open mind, loving heart, pure intent. Don't give your power away to these other projects, these controlled opposition projects and these controlled narrative projects. Don't wait for the military or the politicians to tell you UFOs are real. Go out and have your own experience. You have everything you need, you know. So again, to get out in nature, meditate, set the intent, send love and joy and bliss out, and they'll find you. So as you rise in frequency, you're going to have contact. It comes with enlightenment. And, you know, again, you don't need anybody for that to happen. And you don't have to pay $7 billion to have an experience. I don't think it's that much, but it's getting close. But anyway, we're signing off. We're out of time, unfortunately. So this is James Ginland with As You Wish Talk Radio on PBS Radio and East Eddie Stargate on Rumble. And we're on YouTube. And also, I think we're on YouTube. You never know. We don't last very long on there. And East Eddie Stargate TV, if you want to check us out. Check out our website at eastedi.org. You know, a lot of information, a lot of videos there, a lot of books. And they'll help educate you as to what's happening on the planet. And some of the books that I wrote back in 1982, and when you read them, you go, oh my God, this is exactly what's happening now. And so check those out if you have time. And we have another, when's our next self-mastery class? August? Mid-August? Yeah, if you go to the website, eastedi.org, you'll see mid-August, we're having another self-mastery ambassador, so you can sign up for that. So anyway, thanks everybody in the audience. Thanks for coming to the ranch and giving your testimony, and have a great evening. James Gillen signing off. Again, keep an open mind, loving heart, pure intent, and things are going to happen. Good night. We'll be right back.